First Friday of the month means garden for life during growing season here on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Master Gardener Extraordinaire Lynn Kunstman once again. Lynn, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Good to have you. Let's talk about the month of July. This could be a fairly hard month on gardens and gardeners, you know, things like heat and bugs and all that stuff. So
just
give us a broad sketch of the kinds of things to be watching out for and what to react to and what not to overreact to.
Well, in your vegetable garden, if you've put down mulch, then you have to contend with probably earwigs and slugs and snails. So I know right now I've got a lot of beer traps out in my garden that are drowning slugs by the thousands. Getting enough water or even watering to plants, because if you do kind of wet and dry watering, that can be problematic for blossom end rot with tomatoes. Lots of spider activity, which is a good thing. We want to see lots of spiders, you know, running around out there. And I've got lots of earthworms doing their jobs. Pulling weeds. If you're having a problem with weeds, I know I spend a lot of time pulling out lemon nutsedge and bindweed out of my
bindweed. Yeah, all over the place.
Yeah, it's everywhere. And if you made the mistake of planting, like I did, ornamental morning glories, they just come back year after year after year. And so I'm constantly finding those and yanking them out and composting them. Those things. You'll be harvesting berries this time of year. Usually boysenberries right now, but my boysenberries came like 2 weeks early. They're done. And that's really early for them. They used to come, early to mid-July, and now they're finished by that time, at least in my garden. But raspberries are coming in, blackberries are coming in, the blueberries are ripening. You might have trouble with birds in your blueberries, robins and cedar waxwings really like them, so putting up bird netting is not a bad idea. If you've got large blueberry shrubs that you want to protect, plant a bunch of native plants that have berries this time of year, and maybe that will attract the birds away from your blueberry shrubs, and they'll eat the native forage.
I'm glad you mentioned earwigs and a possible source for them to find homes, because I do have more than the usual amount of mulch and compost in the garden this year, and it seems like I have trillions of earwigs.
Yeah, the population's really high this year for me. And I think also that cooler weather that we had in June helped keep things kind of moist and damp for them. And so their populations they're larger than I've ever noticed before. I've been putting out tuna cans baited with half sesame sauce and half vegetable oil, and they crawl into those and die in the hundreds. So those are very effective traps for earwigs if you don't want to, buy Sluggo Plus or some other, chemical.
And what to put in them again?
It's you fill the can half full of soy sauce and then half full of vegetable oil.
Uh-huh. Okay. Soy sauce.
And they just climb in and die. Yeah, it's like crack for them. I can't explain it any other way. I mean, you'll go out the next morning and the thing will be full of dead earwigs.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty disgusting, actually, but but it's very effective. So it's pretty gross.
Yes, we don't mean to be laughing about the death of animals here,
right.
But these in particular.
Right.
So you mentioned beer traps too. Is that just a variation on the same theme? Tuna can with beer or something?
Yeah. So we need more than a tuna can. I use an aluminum pie pan or aluminum barbecue tray, something that's small that will fit under a big pot because you don't want other things getting into it, and I put a large nursery pot over that, and then the slugs come in at night and they just climb in there. I don't know if they're actually wanting to drink or they want to go, I don't know, but they get in there and they die. They're apparently real luscious. there's like horrible, horrible bloated bodies in the morning. And So, you know, my fiendish sense of humor.
Right, yeah. Right. So beard traps for the slugs and the tuna can with half oil, half soy sauce for the
earwigs. Mm-hmm. And then the other really awful pest that people will probably have in their yards, if you have any kind of debris in your yard, are squash bugs.
Oh, sure.
And they're horrid. They're just the worst. They can destroy a squash plant in, 24 hours. So you have to be vigilant. I go out and hand pick them. You can take a bucket of soapy water with you and just, take them off the plant, throw them in the soapy water. They'll drown. I just pinch them and they burst and then they're gone. But you have to make sure you see them all because they hide in under the leaves at the base of the squash. So the best way to do is to overhead water the plant. Watch for them to run up because they don't like being rained on. So they come to the top of the plant to get out of the water at the base. They run up and then you can grab them and throw them in the soapy water.
All right. This is Garden for Life on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Master Gardener Extraordinaire Lynn Kunstman. If you have ideas for future segments, send them along to jx@jeffnet.org. I understand that for folks who can't wait for our monthly visits to get stuff together and need some advice, you have some additional help out at the Extension Center this summer?
Well, yeah. There's, the plant clinic is running. I'm not sure which days it's open, but generally you can call out there and see if the plant clinic is open. But also people can go online and to OregonStateCatalog.edu. I believe that's the link for it. Mm-hmm. And they can there's a gardening section, and you can get information about any subject you have, any question you have about any kind of gardening. And you can download that and print it out at home, and you have the resource, or you can just download it and read it online. All of that is free. You don't have to even leave. You can pour yourself a nice beverage and just get online and rather than driving out to Central Point hoping somebody's there to answer your question. And they're going to do exactly the same thing. They're going to go to that catalog. They're going to get you the handout and they're going to, print it out and give it to you. So and they'll probably make you pay for it because, we have to charge if we're printing it out for you. So by all means, I recommend people do it at home. Every extension service in the country has that. They have that database. And so you can get that anywhere you are in the country. And I know UC Davis is the one down in California.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Wherever you are, you can just go online to your local extension service or your state extension service and get that information.
Yeah, be careful typing in OSU, I've discovered, because it tends to go to Ohio State. So specify Oregon State.
Because they use theirs more than Oregonians use, the Oregon one.
Right.
So, Ohio is a more agricultural state, and so people are accessing that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so put in Oregon State Extension and go to, it does take you to Ohio. You're right. I've done it myself.
Yes. Yes. But all kinds of good stuff at the Oregon State site for sure. I use it myself to get ready for this segment. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just great.
Now, there are demonstration gardens at SOREC, Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center, as well?
Yeah, there are. And, people are welcome on that campus any weekday between 8 in the morning and 5 at night. And they can go and they can walk through those gardens. There are some really lovely gardens there, demonstration gardens, perennial gardens, a daylily garden, vegetable garden. And the raspberries are ripe now, so that's a good one to wander past. I've got my roommate is she volunteers out there in that garden, and nobody's been picking the raspberries, so she's been bringing home gobs.
Oh, wow.
So, it's worth going out and seeing what's out there. And we have our native nursery out there. We also have a native plant garden, with just the plants growing in it, wildflower garden. There's just a bunch of different gardens, something like 12 different gardens out there.
Wow.
So really, really a nice place to kind of stroll through. And you can drop into the office and you know, ask questions at the plant clinic, or you can come to the nursery. I just got an intern for my nursery, and she is there Monday mornings, and we're always there Wednesday mornings because that's our work day out there. So if you wanted to talk to a specific gardener or visit the nursery, Wednesday mornings between 9 and noon are a great time to drop in and check out the nursery and visit with the gardeners that are running the different gardens. We have a master gardener who's in charge of each of those gardens, and they're more than happy to talk to visitors.
Okay. That is the Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center, SORECC, at 569 Hanley Road, Central Point. This is Garden for Life on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Master Gardener Lynn Kuntzman. Let's talk about figuring out what your garden needs in terms of nutrition, because I was reminded again recently of the fertilizer numbers, for example. And so remind people what those mean, the NPK numbers on fertilizers.
Right. So N is nitrogen, which is NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, sodium. I know the K doesn't sound, it sounds weird, but
right.
That's not sodium. I'm sorry, potassium.
Potassium.
So nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. And the what you need to think of is up, down, and all around. So nitrogen really encourages leaf and vegetative growth, right? That's the thing that makes plants grow fast and put on a lot of green matter. The phosphorus, the P, is more directed at the roots. It's what the roots need for best functioning and growth. And then the potassium is kind of all-around nutrient, macronutrient that they need. And then there are a bunch of different micronutrients that most of our soils have, plenty of. People don't have to worry about manganese and sulfur and those kinds of things, generally. So, so we recommend organic fertilizers, and it, especially in the summer, you probably want to give, if you're giving a basic, you know, even numbered, like a 3-3-3 or a 4-3-2 or something like that, that's probably okay early in the season. But this time of year, you don't want to be fertilizing too much with nitrogen because you're not wanting a lot of growth, unless your garden's behind schedule, in which case you might want to pump it up a little bit. But we are more interested in fruit production. So fruit and flower would be the P and the K that you'd want to be sure that they were getting, plenty of.
Okay, so to go higher with those numbers. So
go higher with those numbers. And if you look at things like the chemical bottles, like Bloom is something like 0-10-10, right? Mm-hmm. The one that's going to produce blooms and fruit. But if you're doing an organic, you want to make sure that your second two numbers are in the higher range.
Okay.
And
you had mentioned not testing your garden. So how do you, is it just are you doing it by feel, or is there something that can indicate without soil testing what the garden needs?
I look at the plants, generations of people have grown gardens without testing their soil.
Sure.
They watch their plants, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening with the plant? And if the plant is looking stunted, then it probably needs some manure or they take some rotted horse manure or something and put it on their vegetables.
Rotted horse manure. When I see that, it just cracks me up. But go ahead.
Yeah, right. Well, the bedding from a horse stall, you let it compost for a while and the ammonias break down and then you put it out on the garden. That's what people used to do before there were chemical fertilizers.
Right.
That's what you had to do,
sure.
Right? Or you make comfrey tea. You chop the comfrey down in your yard and put it in a bucket and ferment it for a couple weeks and then pour that liquid around the base of the plants and, water it in. So lots of different homemade fertilizer kinds of things.
All right.
So that's what I do. I watch the plants and it's, occurring to me now that people always want to know, when should I start things? And of course we have our Master Gardener book that tells us mm-hmm. what to see during the month. But when I look at those pages now, in July, it says, well, put in carrots and lettuce and radishes, and you can do all these things. And I'm going, yeah, because the ones that I let go to seed in my garden are producing ripe seed now.
Right.
They're dropping those seeds in the garden. So, yeah, it's time to plant those.
Okay. Right? All right.
Yeah.
We got to go.
Yeah.
This is Garden for Life. We're with you the first Friday of every month. I'm Jeffrey Riley with Lynn Kunzman from Jackson County Master Gardeners. Lynn, thanks so much.
Yeah, you bet. Bye.